Hi, I'm Laura LaBelle, the host of The Impossible Job, a podcast about the misadventures in parenting that every parent goes through regardless of who your family is. Not an expert, just a parent. The Impossible Job podcast is supported by Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, the hometown advantage. Most folks who work here love living here. They care about the community. At Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, they're proud to work with the hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com makes it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Post your job today on Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. And if you're looking for a good local job, search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at richmondtodchelpwanted.com. Local jobs that work. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Impossible Job. This is the first episode of season two.
Woo! Woo! Yay!
My guest today is Chuck Archer. Chuck works with me here at the station. Hi, Chuck.
Hi. It's good to be here on the Impossible Job podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to have you on. Why don't you just go ahead and give us a little intro, tell the listeners kind of who Chuck is.
Okay. Who am I? I'm still trying to figure that out myself. Well, I've been married for 17 years to my beautiful wife, Kimberly, and we have three kids. I had to count. I had to do the math in my head. They're older. So they're older than your kids. You know, yeah. Your kids are younger. I have a 14-year-old who will be starting high school this year. Yeah. Okay. And get this, twin 11-year-olds. And they will be in middle school this year for the first time.
Okay.
So two firsts for us, sort of. I mean, my oldest has already been through middle school, and we know what to expect there. But
they're the bottom of the totem pole for their, like, starting all over again.
And it's a new adventure for them. I mean, you know, you remember middle school. I mean, middle school is completely different than anything that you experience. Elementary school kind of helps you along, and the teachers are all great.
Lots of hand-holding.
A lot of hand-holding.
Yeah.
And parental involvement, and then you hit middle school, and it's like plateaus all off. It's gone. You know, but
they're just left to their devices.
Exactly.
Well, just to recap, if this is the first time you're listening to the show, I am Laura, the host. I am married as well. I'm trying to think how long we've been married. We've been married for 8 years now. I think it'll be 9 years in January.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You passed the 7-year itch.
Yeah, 7-year. And then we have two children. I have Lucy, who is 5, and Willie, who is 2. So today, we are actually starting our first episode back with back to school, because it is just, you know, that time of the year.
And
I thought it would be like a really good episode to kind of kick us off, because this episode will be airing on the 6th, and everyone should pretty much be back in school, I think, by that time. Say my kids start school the day after Labor Day, so the 4th.
As do mine.
So, okay.
Yeah, we start on the 4th.
I know some other schools have like already started like a week ago already.
This is a weird year because so many school districts in our area, meaning Fredericksburg and Northern Virginia, are going back at different times. Some started 3 weeks ago, some 2 weeks ago, some started this week as we record this, and then you know, we're starting late.
So it's just I felt like it was an opportune moment to kind of get into the back to school episode in here. So I want to start it off with, not necessarily geared towards our kids, but towards us. What do you remember about getting ready for the first day of school?
Well, I pretty much remember going to the mall and getting the clothes for school. Yeah. And this is, I'm showing my age, but malls were just becoming a thing when we started. I mean, in my elementary school years, you know, you're looking through the Sears Roebuck catalog. And I lived in an area that was, it was a small town, and we had to get all of our stuff shipped to us to a Sears location, and then we would go pick it up.
Did you have like back to school lists that your teachers would give you, or?
I don't remember that.
No.
Seems like most of the supplies that we had were either at the school, or they just said, hey, parents, there are some things that we need. Can you get this? But I don't remember the structured, here's the everything that we need. Or better yet, and I don't know if you've experienced this yet or not with your younger kids, but better yet, where they come in with the PTA and have the staples list and everything is there and you pay one fee and it's shipped to the classroom and you're done and done, at least through elementary school. Anyway.
No, we didn't. I mean, I don't remember having that option, but for me, so it's funny because in an earlier episode, like the very first episode that we did on The Impossible Job was all about my love for Target.
And my... Which is a great episode, by the way. And Target should pay you big time for that because it was a funny, funny episode.
Well, it was with my sister, and my sister made a comment like, I don't even know what we did before Target. And then a few days later, my mom came up to me and just out of the blue was like, we went to a mall, Laura. That's what we did before Target. There were malls. That's what we went to. And I was like, oh, yeah, I actually remember that.
That's true. Sears, JCPenney. I mean, we didn't even have Kohl's or anything like that.
Bloomingdale's.
Yeah.
I used to live in Florida, so we had Burdines. Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't have that stuff growing up. And like I said, I grew up in a small town, and the mall was about, 45 minutes-ish away. Mm-hmm. And we would go to Sears. Mm-hmm. We would go to JCPenney or Montgomery Ward. There's one for you.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, we would do that too. And again, that shows my age. But my family, as I was growing up, we didn't have a whole lot of money. I mean, we weren't destitute poor, but my parents got by, paycheck to paycheck, in the beginning. So back to school shopping was kind of a big deal because that's when you got everything done.
Yeah.
And we didn't do a lot of it. You kind of went through the school year and got what you needed through the year.
Throughout.
And I have a brother, so there were two of us. He's 4 years younger than I am. He had a lot of hand-me-downs. Growing up.
Yeah.
And my kids do too, quite frankly. I mean, my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter, they trade off because my twins are boy-girl twins. So, but I have two daughters and the oldest one would hand a lot of things down to my youngest daughter, who doesn't really like that so much.
I mean, in a way, kids grow so fast that they maybe only wore it once or twice before they grow out of it.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of pass on.
It's, there's nothing wrong with it.
Calm down. Yeah. No. So I remember also going for back to school shopping. I was actually really excited. I loved getting new pencils and folders and notebooks.
Doesn't?
I got to pick out a new backpack. We went to Staples or Office Depot, I think. Yeah. I remember it would always be that time of the year when a certain commercial came on, and this was 20 years ago, but they still play the same. I still see the same commercial. I think it's Staples, but it's the dad, and he's jumps on a shopping cart and he just kind of arabesques into the store. And then there's two kids kind of grumpily walking behind him. But in the background, they're playing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." But it was such a successful commercial, I think, because it really did kind of capture the essence for parents and kids. But yeah, I still remember that commercial. I think I haven't seen it this year, but I've seen it somewhat recently.
It's definitely been around.
Yeah,
I remember it too. It's funny. I wish we had Staples and stuff like that when I was growing up. I mean, we didn't have Walmart when I was growing up. So it would have been a completely different experience, mm-hmm. I think, if we had that. I mean, I was buying school supplies at school. They would have the school store. I would buy crayons and I would buy pencils and I would buy a lot of stuff at the school store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember going to Walmart or Staples and trying to find the perfect Lisa Frank folder or what are they called? Trapper Keepers.
Oh, yeah, Trapper Keepers.
Oh, my God.
Love Trapper Keepers. It's like the essence of the 80s.
Yeah.
The Trapper Keepers when they came out with the little folded pockets. And
Yeah,
they still have those today. You can still get them.
And then I remember as I got older, I got so excited. I think I was really excited to go to middle school because I was under the impression there was going to be lockers. But there wasn't any lockers.
You didn't have lockers?
Not middle school. And I got my first locker in high school. And I was so excited for it because it was such a letdown that I didn't have them in middle school. But I was just I don't know, I had this really weird idea of getting locker organizers, and I'm going to put a mirror and pictures.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then when it actually came down to it, I think everything just ended up getting crammed in there.
Yeah, that would be a letdown.
Yeah. So
pretty big time. I'll tell you what happened to my oldest child going into middle school in the school district that we live in. their middle school is very overcrowded. I mean, they've got the trailers and
yeah.
So you have two kids sharing a very small locker.
Mm.
So they had not a lot of locker space. And that was one of her biggest complaints about her first year at middle school is that I can't put a coat in there. I can't take a winter coat and put it in the locker because someone else has their stuff in there with mine in between the books and the coat and all
yeah.
that. I don't have room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was a real problem for her in sixth grade. Now, she hasn't complained as much about it the last couple of years, but definitely in sixth grade, it was a big change.
Yeah, I remember in middle school, I think there was kind of like a big stink from parents because like that's when we started getting the textbooks that we would bring home with us. But we would have to bring every textbook with us every day, and backpacks were getting so heavy.
Yeah, how's your shoulder doing? Is it all right? Is that rotator cuff still working?
Yeah. So they resorted to getting those backpacks on the wheels and stuff so kids
right.
could wheel them around. But I remember that actually being like a
But you can't
thing,
store
so.
Them. That's the problem we had. I wanted Caitlin, my oldest, to get one of those roller bags mm-hmm. and put her books in it because she complained about that. She was a walker
yeah.
and it was about a mile for her to walk from our house to the middle school, and her shoulder was hurting her. And she's an athlete. She does travel softball, travel yeah. basketball, but her shoulder constantly was giving her problems because she's lugging 8 or 9 books around along
yeah.
with the other
they're,
stuff
they're
in the winter
books.
Coat. But she had nowhere to put the rollers, so she had to keep carrying the backpack.
Oh, good. Do you remember what it was like getting your kids ready for their first day of kindergarten versus how getting them ready for school is now since they're like in older grades and things?
Well, obviously, it's something as a parent that's a big deal for you because your child is going to school now. You have reached that point now
yeah.
where your kids are going to school, you know, every day. Now, all of my kids went to preschool, so they pretty much had an idea of what was going to happen going mm-hmm. into kindergarten. I have to say, we had a fantastic kindergarten teacher. All three of my kids had the same teacher. And for my oldest, when she started, it was one of those things where, you know, we were bus, you know, parents, so we had to get her to the bus stop. So we would go to the bus stop, and the bus stop would be huge. There were people everywhere at the bus stop. And then by the middle of the year, the bus stop numbers would trickle down to like 15 people, you know, but that first day it was huge. And then you would put them on the bus and get in the car and hurry up and run out to the school so that you could meet the bus as it pulls up to the school. So we did that for all of our kids in kindergarten. And it was so they would get off the bus and there we would be with the picture and the camera and, you know,
I didn't realize that
parents.
Was a thing.
Yeah, it is, I guess, where I'm at in the school that we're at. But yeah, we would
that's awesome, though.
Get them on a bus and then go to school and meet them there. Doesn't make sense.
Well,
probably doesn't
sure.
help the ecology any, but it was, you know.
Well, it probably helped you kind of like emotionally just be like, all right, they got there fine. And
they're good. They're
okay.
happy.
Yeah.
The bus ride was fine. It only took 10 minutes. It's not a big deal. But mm-hmm. to a parent, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
And to the kid, it's a big deal. And you want them to be comfortable on their first day, and you want them to make it a positive experience. The last thing you want is this screaming kid getting onto the bus. And we had some parents at our bus stop trying to get their kids onto the bus, and it was a struggle.
Yeah.
Where everyone's getting involved, even other parents and the bus driver. It'll be okay. Come on.
Go
and
sit next
screaming.
To my kid.
Yeah, and they just did not want to get on the bus. But that was the fortunate thing. You know, both of us worked, but neither one of us were stay-at-home parents. So we had to come up with options for our kids mm-hmm. when they weren't in school. So preschool for all of them was one of those options. So they were pretty used to a routine, a school type routine.
Yeah. They knew what to expect.
Yeah.
So what's like your first day of school now that they're older?
First day of school? What's that?
Yeah, it's no big deal.
All right, well, school's beginning.
But do they get excited or?
No, my kids are not real thrilled about going back,
excited?
Especially my oldest. She was not fond of her middle school days. And,
aww.
You know, she did great
yeah.
in middle school, but, you know, if you ask her, they were awful. But she is a little bit excited going into high school. It's going to be new. A lot more freedom for her
yeah.
in high school. And now that she has her schedule and knows what she's going to be doing, it's a little bit easier. And she's looking forward to the really just the freedoms. Like at lunchtime, I can do this. And
yeah.
I can actually walk off campus for this time. And so she's excited about that. For my twins who are starting middle school, it's hard to tell. They did great in elementary school. They adapt to almost anything.
Yeah.
My twins are pretty quick to anything new. They're just, whatever. And they're together.
Were they in the same class, like all through elementary?
That's a good question. A lot of people ask me that. And they were in the same class for every grade except first grade.
Oh.
It was the 1 year we decided to split them up. But what happened for us is that we had three different teachers that in three different sets of homework we had to deal with. So we thought, okay, we'll just put them into the same class. And I'm told, I had a really good teacher tell me one time that boy-girl twins,
yeah,
usually not that big of a deal. The competition factor isn't there. They all have their own friends because they're, you know, they're boys and girls.
Right.
Girl-girl twins, it's usually okay, but boy-boy twins, they usually like to split up, you know, twins who are boy-boy. I'm sure there's a competitive reason why they do that. They get competitive and, you know.
Or maybe they just get too reliant on each other, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I have my stepsisters are twins, so I don't remember if they went to school together, or like they had the same classes together. I mean, obviously in high school they didn't, but because
you move around and all the classes are different and you're doing different electives and stuff. Yeah, I don't anticipate that they'll have many of the same classes. And in fact, we already know that they're what they call star class. That's the first class of the day.
Like their homeroom.
Their homeroom is different.
Oh, okay.
And we know that. And we're not pushing anyone for them to be in the same class in middle school, because you're right, it's block scheduling. It's very different.
Yeah.
And each of them are going a different way. My son wants to take French, so he's doing a whole, and in order to do that at our school, it's a whole different schedule.
Yeah.
And my daughter wants to do Spanish, so she has to do a different set. But they're both in the same team. I do like that. They have teams in sixth grade middle school. So there are three or four different teams, and the kids who are in the teams all have the same teachers in those teams.
Oh, okay. So, the teachers will be familiar.
Their teachers will pretty much be the same, although different times during the day.
Gotcha. Are you and your wife excited for them to go back to school?
You know, now...
Or is it different because they're in a higher grade and,
it's
like,
different because they're older, and during the summer, they're pretty independent. They can handle themselves. It's really more of a hassle because now we have to go back to the morning routine again, where we have to get up very early. We have to get them up. We have to get them moving, get them breakfast, make sure they're out the door. I'll tell you what the biggest problem for us right now is with my high schooler. She can't bus to the school. It's about 1.3 miles from our house. So they consider her a walker. I think 2 miles is the radius. And we know how to get her there in the mornings. Again, my wife and I both work, but we can get her there in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure what to do about after school. Now, she's going to do some sports. Some of that will be okay. But by and large, when 3:35 comes around, my wife and I will be working.
Right.
So we're not real sure, and we're only a couple of days away from school, how she's going to get home. I mean, she said she'd walk, and she's right off a bike path and can do that as well. But I don't know. We got to get with her friends and see who's doing that. That's our biggest challenge right now.
Maybe she could ride her bike to school in the morning.
Yeah, but are we excited about it? Not really. Summers for us as parents are actually fairly easy because we're not. And also, older kids, my kids are all involved in sports. Between my three kids, they do 5 different sports.
Oh, gosh.
And a couple of them double sport during certain parts of the year.
Yeah.
And just the transportation factor there can be a big headache.
So you already have like a bunch of moving pieces. So this is honestly just kind of one more thing you have to fit in now.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So it's a bit – in the summer, you get a little bit of a break because they're not doing all the sports. My oldest does travel, so she does some summer stuff, but not to the extent that we do during the school year with all three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough.
So this is Lucy's. She's going into kindergarten.
Yay! Good for Lucy.
I'm very excited for her. She's also been in preschool. She's had 3 years of preschool now. So she started off like going 2 days a week. Then she went 3 days a week. And then we actually moved. We were in Ohio. We moved back to Virginia. And there really wasn't a lot of availability for pre-K programs in the area.
Right.
They're very limited for some reason around here. And then the ones that they did have were already filled up. We did find like a private kindergarten option because she has a November birthday. So she's kind of like, she's on that cusp where she just kind of misses the deadline. So we just opted for the private kindergarten. So it was great, but it was a much smaller class. She only had like 9 kids total, including her. in the classroom. So she's kind of, I think, ahead a little bit, like on the whole reading and writing thing. I kind of used it as this is her pre-K, because we always intended her to go into public kindergarten.
Right. That's what she's doing now. She's going into public kindergarten.
So she's in public kindergarten. So I kind of knew that she would have to make that transition between having a fewer students or fewer kids in her class going to a private or a public setting where she's going to have like 20 kids in her class. And I think that is going to be the more adjustment thing that she's going to have to do.
Not so much. Is she excited about it?
She wasn't. she wanted to be with her friends, the same friends that she had last year. She wanted her same teacher. Her teacher last year was amazing. We love her. But kind of getting her to get excited about it was going to school this year was a little bit more of a challenge. We did have her orientation. She did meet her teacher, and I think that kind of made her turn the corner. She's very excited now because her teacher that she met, she's very warm and welcoming. Lucy even gave her like a hug at the end of the day or at the end of time that we were with her. So I think she's excited now. She saw some of the other kids that are in her class. She got to see where her seat is. She saw some of the handouts that she was getting from the teacher. Her teacher gave her like glitter to put under her pillow to help her go to sleep for the first.
You'll be finding that for the next. Yeah. By the time she graduates from high school, that glitter will still be there.
Yeah, but I was just, she was really excited about it. And quite frankly, if it's just a little bit of glitter on her pillow that's going to make her excited for kindergarten, I'm all for it. So whatever. But I think because I treated last year like this is just another preschool year and this is the kindergarten that counts in a way. I'm having very mixed emotions about it, but I'll get to that later. But yeah, so there's Lucy, and then this is actually Willie's first year of preschool.
Uh-huh.
So I have stayed at home with both of the kids. He's 2.5 now, and this will be his first year doing any sort of daycare preschool thing. It's only for 3 hours a day, two times a week, excuse me. But Lucy was 3 when she started preschool, and I think she was definitely ready for it to have like her own thing. And I was pregnant with Willie at the time, so I was kind of more ready for her to have her own thing. Whereas Willie, he's 2.5, so he's a little bit younger. He's not potty trained yet. We've tried, but he's not having it. So
he's just not. We're just not ready.
He's just not ready. So we're just gonna wait. But
and you can't force it. I mean, right? Well, some of my kids were late too, and yeah. When they're ready, they're ready, and right. They'll do it. They will do it.
Yeah, like he's interested, but I think he's just kind of more like interested in the idea of it. But I digress. So I'm a little nervous about how he's going to handle it, because I think like the first day he goes, it's going to be great. It's going to be fine. It's the second day. He's going to be like, wait, you left last time, so I want you to stay.
Yeah.
And then next week, he's going to get the realization of, oh, this is happening a lot now. Like, this isn't just like a 1 or 2 time thing. Like, this is going to happen every week. And I don't think he is going to be too enthused about it, but he's going to have to get used to it.
Kids are pretty resilient, yeah, though. I mean, after a while, they get used to that routine, and they really, usually they love it. You know, all of my kids really enjoy the preschool, and Caitlin went very early. Caitlin was yeah. in a, really it was a daycare / preschool situation yeah. from the time she was about 6 months old all the way to kindergarten. So yeah. she definitely had a lot of that structure and didn't have much of a choice. But let me flip this on its head a little bit. How are you feeling about this? Because you're going to have an opportunity to have kids at school. At least 2 days of the week, you're going to have kids in school.
I actually have very mixed feelings. I'm excited for both of them to kind of... I'm excited for Lucy because I really want her to have this like love and passion for learning. I'm nervous because I didn't love school myself, so I kind of have that anxiety, but so far so good. She always seems to love going to school when she does go to school. As for Willie, I'm a little more nervous. I don't know. I have like these grand ideas of like, oh, I'm going to have some independence again. I'm going to have like some me time for me. I'm going to go walk. I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to pick up some more like hours at work. I'm going to do all this stuff. But in reality, right. I'm probably just going to sit on my couch or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But And I think I'm also going to genuinely miss them, honestly. Like, I enjoy having my kids.
Yeah, they're
with
your
me.
Companions
they're
through
my,
the day.
Yeah. I mean, Lucy's my girl and Willie's my buddy, and I don't know. I mean, his is only 2 days a week. So, I mean, I think that'll help me to kind of ease into it. But I'm excited for both of them. I think Willie definitely needs it. Like, he needs more of the socialization type of thing. He has a sister, so he kind of has a leg up.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, there are three things that I really kind of despise about back to school.
Okay.
There are three things on my list that my wife and I every year look at each other and go, huh, we have to go through this again. The first is getting all the medication and all the forms ready for the medications to be at school.
Okay.
My youngest daughter has a peanut allergy, so we always have to make sure there's an EpiPen at the school and all the forms have to go with it, and you have to make sure the doctor signs off on it. They have to be examined, so all that has to be there. And if you include the physical for the sports, you know, that's just, it has to happen. It's a bit of a pain, but every year it's the same forms and the same thing in the same school. And it's like, can we just do this once, not have to do it every time?
Okay.
The second part to that is something, we go to Arlington County, which is called the second day packet. And the second day packets are full of paperwork that you have to fill out. And we got three kids. Now, when my twins started kindergarten up through about second grade, it was all paper. And now they finally have moved some of that stuff online. So it's all that stuff, contact information, who can pick them up.
I have a question.
Okay.
Who fills out that paperwork? You?
We both know. We both do.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. The last few years, because, look, my wife handles so much of what we do.
Right.
She handles a lot of the sports scheduling. She handles, because I work an hour away from my home, she's often having to, and she works too. She has to figure out how to get the kids to and fro. But I have stepped in a number of times to help her with paperwork things, including camp paperwork in the summer. You know, I'll help her just to take that off her plate, because it's stuff, most of that I can do. There are some things I can't answer.
Yeah.
Honey, what is this medication? I'm not real sure. So, sometimes you have to ask those questions. But no, I do a lot of the second day packets.
Okay.
And then the third thing that we do, and this is a must for us, is we have a family Google calendar. Now that my kids are older, they all have iPhones and they all have the calendar. And when we have caregivers, we've had au pairs up until this year who have lived with us. They're from other countries. They come in and they live with you for a year or two. And we've had them on the Google calendar. You know, here you go. There's a Google calendar. Yeah. Everything is on it. We share it with them. But I got to tell you, filling that thing out at the beginning of school, when you get the sports schedules and you finally get the school schedules, I kid you not, it takes us a full week in the evenings to sit down and get that done.
Sounds...
But when it's done,
you know,
when you're in the third week of September going, all right, what are we doing today? Oh, we got this and this. Oh, there's a PTA meeting here. Oh, there's a soccer game here. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I think I'm getting my first taste of that. Because, I mean, even during like preschool, they have, you know, days that they have off or like breaks and things for holidays. So I would always we have a Google calendar too. I think it's our iPhone calendar, but it's just, we share it between me and Avery. And I always put all of like the breaks and holidays and things like that on there. And then if there's something specifically for Lucy, she has her own color code. Willie has his own color code now. And then I have my own color code for like things for work or things like that.
So I'll tell you my analogy for this on our Google calendar. Have you ever watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind? And there's the scene at the top of the mountain where they're communicating with the aliens and they're using lights to communicate.
Yeah,
they have this big light board. And the light board, at one point, they're talking so fast to each other, the light board is all lit up. That's my Google calendar with all the colors. It looks like that light board because we have so much going on.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Saying Lucy now, well, both Lucy and Willie have swim lessons once a week. And so I already know, like, as they get older and like the years progress, there's just going to be more stuff to add to it. And like sometimes when I look at it between stuff that Avery has to do, stuff that I have to do, stuff the kids have to do, I get a little overwhelmed and I'm like, they're only doing like one or two like extracurricular type things, but it's anything.
And at some point, you know, when Lucy goes into middle school and Willie is still in elementary school, they're going to have different, different days off. They're going to have different, you know, teacher days are sometimes different. Conference days are sometimes, you know, different. So when you have kids going to two different school entities, that's an issue too, especially if you need, you know, care, because the days can be different.
Well, we did the math, actually. Avery and I had that exact conversation just like a day or two ago. They're not going to be in the same school until high school because they're 3 years and 3 months apart.
Yep.
And the way that our school system works is it's kindergarten through second, and then they go to an upper elementary, which is third through fifth.
Oh, yeah, and that's different than ours.
Yeah, and then they go to middle school, which is sixth through eighth, and then high school. So the only time that they'll ever go to the same school is high school, and he will be a freshman and she will be a senior, which I'm actually kind of happy about because she'll be the big fish and she can kind of hopefully look out for him a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
That's funny because, in high school, but elementary school, I kind of have a different thought about that. I really don't like the split up. That way, you know, splitting up second and then having a pre and a post type elementary, because our kids at least had the chance to go to school together. They're 3 years too. Mm-hmm. So they had a chance to go to school together for 3-4 years. Yeah. And that's great.
Now
they won't meet
again
until high school, but in elementary school, they were together for quite some time.
Yeah, no, I wish they were at the same school, or they would be at the same school for at least a few years, or like one or two, but it's not going to be the case. And it's only going to be the 1 year when they're in high school, because then she's going to, you know, hopefully go to college. But
yeah, and at that point, you know, her friends and her activities are going to be way different than what Willie's will be, because you're talking about a 4 year difference really in schools and schooling. And I think there's a big difference between a senior and a freshman.
Yeah. I want to kind of go back to some back to school shopping, and I kind of want to break it down. So we talked about like school supply lists very briefly. What do your school supply lists look like? Because when I got mine, I actually got two. I got one for preschool, which is, you know, just kind of relatively basic stuff like hand sanitizer, baby wipes, Goldfish crackers, and crayons, glue stick, stuff like that. Lucy's for kindergarten, it was a lot bigger than I expected. I honestly thought it was going to be like kind of like preschools. But now I am in no way complaining about buying school supplies.
No, absolutely not.
I will, you know what? As much as I like, I'm going to miss my kids, I would like write a blank check to the school just to get, just here, because I am excited for them to go to school and so I can have some time. But like one of the things on her list was 16 purple glue sticks.
Yep.
And I was like, 16 per student? Like, that just seems like an obscene amount of glue sticks. But I mean,
it's not, because when my kids, I mean, we had the same thing. You know, you're looking at how many glue sticks do we? You go to Target and they wouldn't have glue sticks, because every kid needs 16 glue sticks, right?
Yeah,
so
every
kid in the county is going to Target to get those glue sticks. So
I had to buy black Expo markers off of Amazon because they were gone.
Right, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, Costco, BJ's can be your friend there too, especially if you have multiple kids. But I'll tell you, they glue a lot of stuff together. When they do, they have weekly, you know, especially elementary school, they have weekly word sheets they have to do, and they cut out the pictures and they glue them down. They will go through those glue sticks, I guarantee it. But what was nice for us, and I mentioned this, you know, a little bit earlier, is at least after kindergarten, the PTA at our school put together all the teacher school supply list, and they basically went through Staples, and it was you can buy it or not buy it, but if not, you're going to get the list and you have to get this stuff yourself.
That's smart though. I mean, honestly, yeah. I wouldn't mind.
Oh, it was worth, you know what? I wrote that check happily. Here you go. No problem. And the box shows up like the day they get back to school, and
it
actually comes a week before they get in. So the teachers have time to unpack the stuff. So that was great. But we're in a situation now with middle school and high school. My middle schoolers, we took care of some of the back-to-school shopping already. We had an idea sort of what they were going to need, because my oldest had already gone through it.
Right.
We've been told already, forget about high school, because you're not going to know until you go. Don't even bother getting school supplies because
each class is going to be different. Yeah.
So they even told us, don't go get them because
Because they want some specific stuff.
Yep. Yeah. So they're like, don't bring anything. Just bring a backpack, and they have computers that the school provides. And outside of that, be prepared because everyone's going to be different. So we don't know. And that's the problem. So now we're going to have to go back to school shopping for her after everyone else and all the other freshmen and above that need all the other stuff that she needs.
Yeah. I took both of them, but like Lucy was the main one. She needs like composition books and folders. And we had to have a conversation between wants and needs because some of the stuff was pretty specific. It's like there was like a certain type of like glue stick that she wanted. Lucy wanted like the glitter glue or something. And I was like, no. We can't get that. We need to get this type.
And the teachers are very specific about that for a reason.
Like we needed these composition books and not the ones with like the perforated edges. Like you need to get tabbed folders and pronged folders. And I was like, I don't know what the difference is.
And it changes every year. Every year, each teacher has their own, or each team, if they teach in a team, they all have different requirements.
Yeah. What about clothes? Do you do like back to school clothes shopping?
Yeah, we actually, this year for my kids, we vacationed at my parents in Dallas. And Dallas is the retail mecca of the world. I mean, there's retail everywhere in North Dallas where they live. So what we did is we tackled the girls. They did great. They did really great at the outlets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were fantastic. My son, you know, we did. He doesn't like shopping. We did a few things, and we got him some shoes and stuff like that. But he probably could use a few more things. We're a little behind. But I got to tell you, we do not shop during the tax-free weekend. We probably should, but we don't, because we know it's going to be absolutely crazy during that weekend. And everyone says, well, that's when you need to go. Well, nah. we've learned that lesson. We're like, no, we're not going to. It's a great thing. I'm glad that they do it and that they allow the opportunity to be tax-free. I know the retailers love it. Mm-hmm. We just found that trying to do three kids at the same time on that weekend is impossible. And we are at the point where we almost have to take them one at a time. Now, earlier when they were younger, we could easily just go into Target, buy whatever we want.
Yeah.
But as kids get older, they realize that, oh, style,
there's
name brand,
brands,
there's
stuff.
You know, my oldest daughter wants to go to H&M and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so you're like, okay, there's an outlet somewhere, right?
I remember my grandparents, my granny actually took me. I mean, my parents did too, but I think like the big haul of it, my granny took me back to school shopping, and we went to like the Limited because we went to the mall. So it was like Limited or 579 or Charlotte Russe, I think was, they still have that today. But so we would go, she would take me back to school shopping, and I loved it. And I remember one year, it was an ill-fated year, I got everything that was like brown. I got like brown corduroy skirt, brown shirt, brown pants. I don't know what it was. I just wanted everything brown. And I look back and I'm like, why? Why did you do that to yourself, Laura? But Lucy and Willie are definitely young enough to not care so much. Lucy's getting to the point where she wants to pick out her clothes and things like that. But my mom did the same thing that my granny did. My mom took Lucy out to go back to school shopping.
That's nice. And a nice little tradition.
Yeah, kind of got her some stuff. And I kind of just planned on getting her back to school clothes kind of for her birthday, because her birthday's in November, and I feel like a lot of the stuff for like the colder winter months aren't gonna come until a little bit later. We went to Target and I was looking around, and they have like some like sweatshirts and hoodies, but like no sweaters or
Christmas
anything
decorations
like that.
Will be out before the winter clothes are.
So I'm gonna do kind of like, I think I'm going to try to kind of get it in one fell swoop, where I get her back to school clothes as her birthday presents. That's my plan.
That's one way to do it. That's a way to kill two birds with one stone, I guess. And you got the time.
I'm going to try to continue that tradition as well. So it's like my mom will just kind of get her started, hopefully, with back to school shopping. And then I'll just kind of fill in the gaps and give them to her as her birthday presents.
Well, I'll tell you, we're typically not terribly, or like I said, this year we did pretty good. But in years past, we've not been as organized. And it's one of those things where one of the kids will put something on and you'll look at them and go, you know, where the long pant leg is like over the knee, and you're like, wait a minute, you can't wear that anymore. that's a 3T. What are you doing wearing that? You're in second grade. You know.
Well, now there's like dress codes also to think of. I mean, I don't think they're as. I mean, what are you
gonna, ours weren't
what
terribly
are scandalous
strict,
that you're
going to
put like a 5-year-old, but still.
Yeah, no
Crocs. I mean,
Crocs.
For you guys. With your kids and they're older, I know they have more stricter dress codes now.
The high school has some requirements, yeah. You know, that they want them to do. They're not terribly strict. It's not, you know, it's really not, how do I put it? It's not real confining to the student,
yeah.
But reasonable things like no short shorts, you know, or you're seeing butt cheeks and everything, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff that's reasonable like that, and they have certain, you know, lengths that they want certain things to be, but by and large the dress code, you know, for the high schooler is pretty good. In middle school it's kind of the same thing, but I gotta tell you, I've been at the middle school many times, and the standard operating, you know, is usually jeans or shorts and some sort of t-shirt for the boys. And the girls, it kind of runs the gambit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, girls just have more options.
They do. There's no doubt about that. I can tell you that in our back-to-school shopping, that the girls have way more
variety.
Variety than my son does. My son, usually it's like, okay, what are we going to get? All right, well, we'll get you a pair of sweatpants, some shorts, and a t-shirt, and maybe a sweatshirt or two, or a hoodie, and that's it. That's all you need. Some socks, underwear, as long as you're good.
Yeah.
Shoes are the big thing. I don't know about your kids. My kids go through shoes every 2 or 3 months.
Not yet. They're actually relatively slow to grow now. Like, Lucy's actually been in the same size for like a year and a half now. And then same with Willie. Like, they both have actually pretty small feet, which is kind of astonishing compared to like my shoe size and then Avery's shoe size. We have huge feet. So I kind of... I'm preparing myself that in middle school or high school or, I don't know, whenever they kind of go through puberty, it's just going to happen where they just...
It does.
Because Avery actually has stories about how he got, like, brand new shoes, and then not even a month later, he was like, these don't fit me. And his parents thought he was lying that he didn't... Because he just didn't want those shoes or something. But they made him put them on, and he's like, they don't fit. And they're just like... Holy crap, like, how did you grow out of these so fast? They're brand new. And I think he went up, like, 3 shoe sizes within, like, 3 months or something crazy like that. So
yeah,
I'm anticipating something like that.
You should. My son, when we took him shoe shopping last week while we were away doing the shopping, I bought him a size 8 adult, you know, men's shoe. I'm like... When did this happen? Dude, you're 11.
You know, yeah.
We went to the youth section and they literally did not have anything above a youth 7.
Yeah.
And he's way out of a youth 7. Mm-hmm. So I had to go to the men's section to try to find him something. And he found some great shoes, great price. You know, they're Nikes. You know,
yeah.
So it worked out pretty well. But I was just shocked that now I'm buying men's shoes for him. My oldest daughter wears a shoe size bigger than my wife now. She's a tall girl. She's very, very tall. She's taller than my wife. And you know,
I think it's like if something, as long as there's like no like really big childhood illness or something like that, you should always expect your kid to outgrow at least one parent.
Yeah. Well, they've done that at least with one.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm pretty tall.
Yeah.
About 5'10". Avery's 6 foot. So we're going to have some lumberjack children.
So. They'll be tall.
Yeah. We're going to have some lumberjacks. What about lunches? Do your kids like buy lunches, or do you make lunches, or do they make their lunches now?
I'll tell you a funny story about that. Our school system allows us to do the thing called My School Bucks. So you put money into a bank, and when they go to get their meals or whatever, they, you know, just take it out of the account.
Right.
So I have 3 accounts, one for each kid, and I have to keep putting money in. Well, I found out in 4th grade for my twins, I was putting like double the amount in for my son, and I couldn't figure out why this was happening. And you know, I didn't pay much attention to it for a while, but eventually, you know, my wife and I asked him, why is your account dwindling faster than your sister's? We can't figure this out. What is happening? And it was actually his sister that ratted him out and said, well, it's because Chase is getting breakfast in the morning. we fed him breakfast in the morning. It's not like we didn't feed him breakfast. We do feed the kids before they go out. So he was going and getting a breakfast, not telling us, and was getting breakfast every morning. And we asked him why he was doing it. He said, oh, because I like what they serve. So I went ahead and got breakfast. I didn't have anything else to do. So I went and got breakfast. We're like, but we didn't tell you you could get breakfast. And I mean, I was, because it auto-replenishes. And I'm just like,
but
wow.
He's a grown boy.
I guess so. But yeah, so he was sneaking in and getting an extra breakfast. He was getting an extra meal every day.
Yeah.
He had no idea. But they prefer, my twins prefer to eat at school.
Okay.
They prefer what we call hot lunch. Yeah. They like to order it there. And they want to do that in middle school too, although their time is going to be very restricted. My older kid said, no, you're not going to want to buy your lunch because you got like 30 minutes to stand in line, get lunch, and then there's a little tiny recess, and then you're back to class again. My oldest, beginning with middle school, really said, no, I got to start bringing my own lunch because my time is not my own. So I have to do it. Okay. So that's how I think – high school is going to be the same way. I think she's going to continue to take her lunch. My twins are telling us, no, we want to buy lunch. You know? And even though their elder sister was kindly giving them consulting advice on that.
Yeah. They got to find out for themselves.
Yeah, they said, well, we'll do it for the first week and see what happens. And, well, they have money in the account. And, Chase may be a little less than everyone else, but it's there.
Say, I've always made their lunches. Willie doesn't need like a lunch because he's only going from 9 to 12. He'll come home for lunch. And then Lucy, I always had to pack her lunch because it was a private school and it was not in like a school. It was like a private school through a church program. So they didn't have like a cafeteria. So you had to provide lunches for them. So this year, when we were doing the orientation, we kind of went around. So we met her teacher. We went to the music room. We went to the gym, blah, blah, blah. We went to the cafeteria. And so she went through the little lunch line to see it. And then she actually got really excited about the aspect of going and picking out what she wants to eat for lunch. And I was like, you know, they do have like a set menu, but you have a few options for your sides or something like that. And so she's pretty excited about doing that. So our schools are in the city. And it's a Title I school. They offer free lunch and free breakfast to all the kids.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to figure out how to, if it's something like a system like you guys have, or if I have to like send her in with money, and how am I going to do that so she doesn't lose it? Nope, no matter. It's free to everybody. Like, you don't have to fill out paperwork or anything like that anymore. It's just...
Wow,
it's
that's
just
nice.
Free, so.
I tell you,
and it's free all the way up to middle school.
Wow,
school you have to pay for it, but yeah, it's breakfast and lunch.
Well, it's good free. That they do that. I'm glad that they do that. That's you know, good for the school system for doing that. Our big concern is, as I mentioned, my youngest daughter has a peanut allergy that's pretty severe. The real unfortunate thing about that is, all through elementary school, they had an allergy table. And she was forced really to sit in the peanut-free allergy, because they serve peanut butter and jelly as one of the options for lunch. Hmm. So the teachers, in order to know who they, and they could, and I've been to the school a couple of times, and I see her sitting by herself at the allergy-free table. And it breaks your heart, because it's like, this is the one time where the kids get to be themselves
social,
and get to be really social. And there are a couple of other kids sometimes that would sit, at the table, but by and large, she would, oftentimes just kind of be alone by herself, maybe another little kid a few feet down from her at the same table. And I've always felt bad about that. Middle school is going to be a real challenge for us, because she's going to have to manage some of that on her own. She's going to have to know not to eat something that a friend gives her, even if they assure her it doesn't have peanut, you can't do that.
Yeah.
She has a little more freedom in middle school, and that's a bit of a concern for us.
Yeah, a little anxiety.
But she won't have to sit at an allergy-free table anymore, so I guess socially it'll be a little bit easier on her.
I feel like our school is a little bit more progressive in that, because when I was, they had like a sample menu showing like a calendar, because they'll send home a calendar once a month so you can see what they have. But like nothing on there had like peanuts, and they even had lactose-free milk available.
Yeah, some systems have really
like
gone to extremes
snacks
with that. Yeah.
So they had like Goldfish crackers, and then they had honey roasted sunflower seeds as like an option. I was just like,
well, she eats sun butter. That's you know, we can't have peanut butter in the house, so sun butter is our is our option. But it's so that adds a whole different element. That could be a whole different show, kids with allergies and how to handle it. But she's
working on it.
We've been fortunate on knock on wood so far. The schools have been great working with us on that. You know, aside from the paperwork, which is always a pain, and her sitting at the table. We've been pretty lucky in that regards, and I wish that the school system didn't, that peanut butter and jelly wasn't an option, but I think it's one of those low cost, easy to serve because it's a second option. It's not on the main menu. It's just if you don't want the main entree we're having today,
you have
three options, including a vegetarian option, which I think is great.
Yeah,
but you know, it'd be nice if they use sun butter instead of peanut butter, you know, something along those lines, because peanut allergies are so, and they can be really unpredictable. I mean, you don't know what your reaction is going to be.
Yeah, well, like you said, that's another show.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, that's a good point. So I think that's our pretty good place to kind of wrap this up. I feel we've gone over the supplies, the clothes, the our deep-seated feelings about back to school. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. I love the podcast. I listen to every one.
Thank you.
You do a phenomenal job with it. And I love listening to it. And I still love the Target episode. I've listened to that two or three times because I think that's great.
Well, thank you so much. And to all of you out there, if you like the show, please tell your friends. That's kind of how podcasts especially kind of really get momentum. So I would really appreciate it if you tell friends, your family, your sisters, brothers, whatever. Also, would be helpful if you rate, comment, or subscribe. You can find The Impossible Job on Facebook and Twitter. My handle on Twitter is @_impossiblejob. Or you can always email me directly at laura@wbqb.com. And I hope everybody has a wonderful school year.
Have a great school year.
All right, bye.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are their own and not necessarily those of Centennial Broadcasting.